listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host for the most, Nikki Kalula. Tonight we have a very special guest for our another edition of our quarantine episodes of Wake Up Hollywood. So we're going to introduce Dela Moore, singer, songwriter, artist. Hello, how are you?
Hello, Nikhil. How are you? So happy to be here.
All right. And you're on the East Coast, right? So you're staying up late, getting your caffeine on.
I had a nice cup of coffee.
What was your
coffee? I am awake for you.
If you don't mind me asking, what was your coffee of choice?
You know, it was Starbucks, actually. Regular coffee with one sugar, but it keeps you up. So I'm awake for you.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for joining us from the East Coast. We're very excited. You're still on my left over here, but if it looks like I'm not paying attention, it's just because I'm looking at you on my screen.
Okay. I see you on my right. So we're perfect.
Perfect. So tell me how you came up with the name. I love the name. It's almost French.
Yes. Thank you. I'm glad you picked that up, actually. L'amour in French means love, right?
Right, yeah.
So with the D for my first name, Dorota, it just felt like it was the perfect match. And it just exuded this, I don't know, this love feel. So I decided that that has to be my stage name.
I love the way you said your name, Dorota, though. That's really cool, too.
You know, it's interesting. I walked away from that name when I was 12. Because when I came to the United States, when I was 12 years old, they said that name in so many various ways. They were like really Dorota, Dorada. And one day someone said that Dorota is actually Dorothy. So I became Dorothy when I was 12. And I just returned to my name recently.
That's crazy. You know, I grew up Nikhil, which is not an easy name to say. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you went through the same thing when a substitute teacher came to your name and roll call, there was always a pause and they would wait and you're just like, oh my God, those are moments of anxiety. I was like, oh my God, it's Nikhil, I'm here. You know, so I feel you.
My last name is even worse.
School, and even my parents called me that. But when it comes to the music, I wanted to make sure, you know, I make it hard for people. So you are doing the right thing by making it easier for people. But I'm like, no, this is the name. I'm going to make it hard for people.
Oh no.
So tell me what got you into music.
Oh, actually, I have been around music since I was little. So it was all of my life. It's just that now I decided to pursue it professionally and full time. But I've always sang. My father played piano and accordion. So music That's was awesome. Always in our home. Yes.
I actually have an accordion. I'm not the greatest.
You do.
I think it's such a crazy, awesome instrument, but it's very difficult to be very good at.
It is.
My so whenever I see cats that are just like awesome, when they're just like, bah, 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 it's like that's crazy. It's like a lot of it is I play piano, so when I can't see the piano keys in the same way, I feel a little bit awkward. And it's also it's this motion, you know.
Yes.
To do both of those.
And it's also a heavy instrument to hold. It's very It's difficult. And he learned when he was little. And I think you have to have an ear for an accordion, really have an ear, right? Just like for violin. Also,
it's cultural, too. Sometimes, like, it's so much in the music in Europe and sometimes Spain and even some parts of Italy, you know? So I think it's also growing up with the sounds. And but what I love it for, I use it for swells on records because I think it's such a great sound. I think it's such a cool vibe, and I think it's such a beautiful instrument. So
it's forgotten a little bit, right? Forgotten a little bit. I'm glad you're bringing it back.
Wonderful. I try. I love all instruments. I think there's just a way to, you know, you have to breathe life into them, you know, and I think that's what it's called. So when did your dad start playing? He must have started when he was a kid.
He attended music school when he was little.
Wow.
And then he played the piano as well. And he was the one that actually vocally trained me to sing.
Wow.
When I was 8 years old, he would always put me in front of a radio and record me on cassette tapes and just have me mimic all of these Polish singers.
Like, you know, who were the Polish singers?
You know, my favorite was Anna Jantar, and sadly she passed away in an airplane accident, crash when I was little. But her voice and her music was so beautiful. So I would imitate her. She was my favorite. Awesome.
I assume there's a lot of Eastern European, like Russian influence in a lot of the style. Yes.
We listen to actually a lot of American music.
Oh, awesome.
You know? Yeah. And also ABBA, Bee Gees, that was always in our home. You know, this was like the 70s.
What I love, I feel like dance music, no matter what country you're in, it's going to always come down to people dancing to sound. And I think that basic thing is never going to be, it's never going to change. It doesn't even matter. Like, I love listening to world music and I don't even know what they're singing sometimes, but if it's got a great backbeat and a great melody, there's nothing that will stop me from moving to it. You know,
it's therapeutic, isn't it? It's like, it takes you away. I know when I sing, when I close my eyes, I always say I am literally transported. I don't know where I go, you know, but it's like you are transported into that place that is like you feel like it's home.
So when did you start singing? When was the first time you remember singing a note?
I think I was around 3.
Wow.
And then when I was around 6 years old, I remember trying to imitate the English language. I didn't speak English till I was about 12, 13. But I would imitate the words and try to, you know, sing like Bee Gees and ABBA and all of these other bands.
I love both those bands.
Don't you love them, right?
Great songwriting, great arrangements, great songs.
And Smokey. Remember Smokey from the 70s?
Totally.
The Next Door to Alice, I think, was like that one song that we would listen to all the time. You know? So it's always been around me. I don't think I ever stopped singing. In the shower or at someone's wedding. It was always, you know.
Did you have siblings or friends that were also musical? Did you have a musical family other than just your father?
No, it was mostly my father, I would say. My grandfather on my mother's side played the violin, and I played the violin when I was little. I went to music school. I did, but then I stopped when I came to America. My education stopped in violin. I regret,
You know,
when you come to a new country, other things become, right? We were immigrants, so it was more important to kind of build a new life for your family, and certain things were lost in the midst of it, but I still have my violin and I do pick it up and I do play some things by ear.
That's amazing. It's an instrument that's not very easy to play.
Mm-mm.
It, you know, and I didn't realize that you know how much you need the, you know, what's that little bar that you rub on the bow? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes.
I'm blanking on the name.
I don't know what it's called. It's like a yellow heart, right?
Yes.
I tried playing it
the other day, and it was like, oh, this doesn't have any sound. It's like, oh, you got to rub this on it like 8 or 10 times, and then friction that creates that sound. I was like, that is amazing. Like,
it is.
How basic of an instrument, but how beautiful. It's like that instrument is always going to transcend the times because there's no replacing it. There's never replacing a violin. It's such
no. And you do have to really have an ear for violin too, because it's not like piano where you press the chord, right? And automatically you have the sound. The violin, you really have to find it. And when I moved to America, when I left with my father, my mom said that the teacher came to her house and actually cried.
Aww.
She did. She cried. My violin that I left, you know, that we left, and that I'm not going to play anymore. Because it was a beautiful experience. The violin, there's something about it. I think I read somewhere that it's the closest sound to the voice, to a human voice. Yes.
That's so awesome.
It's beautiful, you know?
Well, it's never too late to keep it going. So keep pulling that instrument out.
Mm-hmm.
No, you may end up recording on it, but you started falling in love with singing again. Tell me what made you come back to singing.
What made me come back and pursue it professionally, right?
Yep.
I think one day I just realized it was actually in 2019 that it is never too late to follow your dreams, literally.
Absolutely.
And I decided that I think, you know, as a musician at heart, because I think I'm a musician at heart because it's always been with me. When you look at the music industry, there's so much fear.
Right.
But you think about the you think of it's a competition. You think, you know, how old am I? Am I going, you know, who's going to listen to my music? There's so many things that are really in your mind stopping you from pursuing it. But in 2019, I decided, you know what? I have this dream all of my life. And I'm just going to pursue it. I'm just going to make it come true. Why does it have to be a dream until the day I die?
Was it like something you saw? Was it just like a voice that was inside you that you were always like, I need to pursue this like right now? What was it that
you know what it was? It was like an awakening. And also Kevin Mackey reached out to me. We were connected on Facebook. He was working on a soundtrack for a movie, One Little Finger, about children with disabilities. It's actually ability and disability.
Awesome.
And he asked me to be on the soundtrack, but speaking in Polish, not singing, speaking in Polish. Yes. And I did like this little, you know, little piece speaking about how I feel about children with disability. And then he sent me this email and he said, how does it feel to be on the soundtrack with Julian Lennon? Because Julian Lennon is on the soundtrack as well.
That's crazy.
And something inside of me just said, you know what? Listen to that little voice. And it was that incident that kind of was like the beginning of everything because I decided it was. And I started to listen to my instinct and followed it. And then he invited me to the red carpet premiere in LA.
Amazing.
And I flew in. Yep. And I saw Brian there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, I didn't speak to him, but I saw him from afar. I was kind of like observing the whole event. I didn't socialize very much. I was just like absorbing it. Quincy Jones was there. So I was like, all righty, you know, I'm here. I'm here. I'm in the midst of it, right? I can handle it.
Well, I mean, it's also just like just making that leap and also just, you know, being a part of something and then seeing all the glitz and glamour of it. That's exciting because it's all fireworks, you know? It's just like seeing famous people, you're around all these artists and you feel, oh, like I'm one of them. Because there's no like coincidence that
I decided, and I saw Brian from afar, and I remember I loved his jacket. He wore this really cool jacket. I don't know, and I said, "Who's that guy? He has a really cool jacket, and I love fashion." So I came back from the premiere, and somehow he was tagged in a post, and I said, "Wait, I saw him. Who is he?" And I looked up everyone and reached out to him and said, "I have this song. Can you mix it for me?" And he mixed it, but it was the stems from someone else that created it for me, and it just wasn't up to par.
Right.
And I said, you know, Brian, would you mind if we just created a brand new song? You know, just forget about all the stems. Let's just end. That's how everything started. And I literally was listening to one instinct and another one that led me on this path. And now I'm pretty much in heaven.
Awesome. He's one of my favorite people. He's one of my writing partners. And, you know,
I've
done many records with Brian. And, you know, I was just thinking about Brian the other day because there's a song I did at a studio in the very beginning of my career. And I think I did two songs with that person. And we recorded the songs and she lost all the files. Like, she gave me a CD, and this was years later, and I called her. I said, hey, do you still have the files? Because I want to mix those songs and put them on a record. And she said, oh, you know what? I'm so sorry. My computer crashed, and I actually had to dismantle the whole thing. She's like, I just had to junk it. It was so old. And she's like, we lost everything. She's like, I lost so many sessions on there. And I was so heartbroken. And so all I had was this CD of a rough mix. And I gave it to Brian and I said, you know, is there any way, you know, you can help salvage this? And he did. And it's on a record. And those songs, you know, I've had those songs synced in movies and stuff. And I'm so happy that song, you know, made it, you know, through that. But it's like, I owe him for that. So, Brian, if you're listening, we love you, man. We love you.
And we love you. He's amazing.
Love your jackets.
Yes, and his jacket. I know. No, he's amazing. And I think, you know, I am kind of pulled towards people that are kind and humble.
Right.
And I am so glad I did not read the Wikipedia about him before I reached out to him.
Right.
I did a little research.
Oh my God. Yes.
It was when we began working on the first song and he understood me as an artist and he understood my message and he connected me with Glenn Gabriel, who's the composer, and he's amazing as well. And then I went and read more about Brian and I was like, oh my goodness. Okay. He has worked with pretty much everyone. What am I doing here?
He just won a Grammy like in February.
His seventh Grammy.
Yeah, seventh Grammy.
But he is so humble, so talented, and so amazing, and to be so humble that I really thank God every day that my path has led me to him, because I know in the music industry, the path can lead you to many different places.
Right.
And to be in his hands and to create, you know, the record song by song, because I'm an independent artist. So I have to, you know, finance the production of each song individually. So it is literally the album is being born song by song. But well, I know I'm in the best hands.
Beautiful about that evolution, too. It's like,
it is.
Savor the process. That's a big part of it. But it's also just knowing that, you know, you're actually taking a big step just by doing an album like that. And it's like amazing that you see the step-by-step process, because most people don't understand like how much it takes to do a record, or like how much work or concentration or like little details that most people won't even notice, that you're like sitting there with headphones and listening to it in your car and listening to it in like several different ways just to make sure that it's the right balance. And, you know, so much that goes into it. And it's one of those things that it's a real fine art for a reason, but you know, the process is a story in and of itself. It's like,
it's beautiful.
Every song is a chapter. So the more that you're, you know, progressing and able to do more, you'll start seeing the album taking shape and becoming this, you know, dedicated to that thread that is the vision of the record, you know? So don't worry about how long it takes. I have friends that have done records that have taken years. I've got friends that have done records in like 2 weeks, and you know, there's no difference or hierarchy whether one is better than the other. I always feel like any record I do, I can never tell somebody when it's going to be finished. When people ask me, when's the record going to be out? I say, it'll be around this time, but most likely it'll be 3 months after that, because the record will tell me when it's finished. You know, so the album will
tell you when it's beautiful.
Yeah, so
it is about the journey, not just the destination of the actual song. Because I know when it's released, I feel amazing. But I have to tell you, when the song is released, I'm excited, but I already miss working with Brian and Glenn and whoever else is working on the songs with me. Alex Houghton also did Kiss. I miss that part. That's the part that's the hardest when it stops.
Yep.
Walking into the studio. My gosh, the first time I walked into Threshold Studios in New York City, where so many artists recorded, and I put those headphones on, and Brian's like, hello, from LA. You know, I'm in New York, right? He's in LA, and he's in my headphones, and he's like telling me, take after take, take after take. I'm telling you, Nikhil, I cannot leave that studio. When I woke into the car, I feel like crying now thinking about it. I don't want to go home.
Yeah.
And my 4 hours are up. I'm done, but I don't want to go home. I wish I could stay there for I could probably stay there for days, to be honest.
I just never get tired of the studio. I never get tired of the process. I never get tired of any part of it. It's a joy to do. So I encourage you to never take it for granted, because I've always been in studio since I was a kid, but I always savor it. And it's like, I always think it's so crazy when people, and you know this because you're paying for your own records and songs. It's like you hear so many artists just like partying at the studio or like wasting time. I don't do that. I'm like, oh, you're wasting an opportunity. I don't do that. I'm like sitting there and I'm like making sure that everything runs super fast, super smoothly. Mm-hmm. Like we use every minute, every second we can and create something together. But some people will come in and they'll have a party and they'll work for 2 hours and they'll party for 10 hours. And I'm like, how?
No, that's
crazy. It's like you're sitting with all this amazing gear. It's not going to happen every day like that, you know? So I love
it. I told Brian many times, my dream is to be in the studio with him and to hear the sounds of all of those buttons. He always laughs when I say this, because I'm like, I'm on this end, he's on the other end. But the dream is to actually sit in the studio together and hear every sound, and I can just decide, okay, I want this sound, I don't want this sound. You know what I mean? Because right now, Glenn is in Sweden.
Wow.
Ryan is in LA, and I am in New York.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? And all of these beautiful songs are being created with all of us in different parts of the country and the world.
That's amazing.
The dream is to be in one room, because, you know, I always tell them, I want to know what those buttons do.
There's a lot of them, and they,
I know.
They can get overwhelming with what they can do. And, you know, it generally, I always, the rule of thumb I always like to have is like, when you're around good company, you're going to make a great record. So it's like the company mm-hmm. dictate like the trajectory of the records, and Brian's a great engineer. So you're already in good
everything.
So that's awesome. Well, let's hear something first, and then let's talk more about how you fell back in love with music. What do you want to play us first?
Let's do Shine. Shine was the first song that I released.
Mm-hmm. Here's Shine by Dee Lamour.
Thank you.
you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Now I do.
I was like, that was very beautiful. I said I could tell you like Enya, you like Celine Dion, and who else are some of your influences for a song like that?
You know, I have such a diverse taste in music. You would be surprised. I actually listen to everything. But awesome. I do. It's from Pink Floyd to Celine Dion to Bocelli to Bon Jovi to John Lennon to really, I listen to all types of music, but I always did imitate, when I came to America, Celine Dion.
She's so great.
I love her, Barbara Streisand. Yep, I went to her concert when I was in my early 20s. I'll never forget. And I had wonderful seats. I was like in the sixth or seventh row.
Wow.
And I was belting it out with her. I was singing with her like every song. And this lady in the back of me tapped me on my shoulder. And she said, excuse me, ma'am, but I came to listen to Celine Dion sing, not you. I will never forget. Because I knew every song, every word. It was so funny. And she told me to zip it. So I zipped it. But
that's okay. You know what? As long as you're making your own record, she'll be buying tickets to your show too. You know?
Exactly. But I do love Barbara Streisand as well. I think the adult contemporary, I would say, and I love classical music mixed with pop, that classical crossover.
You like Sarah Brightman,
yes.
I definitely heard a lot of Celine Dion and Enya because the arrangement just lends itself.
Oh, Glenn is amazing. Because Shine was the song that I went to Brian with to mix. And when I heard it and I said, Brian, it doesn't sound right, correct? And he said, well, you know, I did my best with what you gave me. And then we went to Glenn. And when he sent me the song, I'll never forget Shine, Brian, the finished product, like the first draft, right, of the instrumental with my vocals that I gave him, the demo. I was driving back from New Jersey, was pouring rain. And he texted me. He said, okay, I just emailed you the first version. I pulled off from the highway. I got off the exit because I couldn't wait 40 minutes to listen to it at all. I told him I would. There was no way. So I pulled out of the exit. I put the song on, get back on the highway. And it was like the most dramatic movie moment. I am bawling and crying in the car, driving in the pouring rain. Because when I heard it, it was just me. And I said, how can this person, these two people, know exactly what I would love? You know, but somehow they figured it out. I made a PowerPoint presentation for Brian. He still laughs about it because every song is a PowerPoint presentation.
That's awesome. And it's definitely come from the business world then.
Right? Because I don't know how to explain it to them what I hear in my head. Right. You know, you're a musician. You hear it in your head.
Yep.
And now I have to translate it to them.
Right.
Right? So I write the lyrics in it. I write why I wrote the song and the story behind it, what the purpose of it is. And then I do another screenshot, like a slide, where I tell them, I take different songs and give them pieces of it and tell them, okay, here in this spot, I love this instrument. Here in this spot, I love this. And somehow they took all of that and Shine was born. And I knew I loved it the second I heard it because I was crying.
And tell go ahead. You told Brian.
No, go ahead.
No, you said, I told Brian.
No, I told Brian that if a song makes me cry when I first hear it, you know, if I feel it in my heart and it moves me, it's done. It's perfect. And Shine really was.
I feel like if I'm in the studio and I get chills, that's when I know it's right. That's what, if I don't get that, then it's not right. And we'll remix and remix. And I still do that. Even with Brian's mixes, I tell him the same thing. I'm like, if I get chills, then I know it's doing the right thing. If I don't, then I'm still having to search for it. So,
I'm glad that I'm not the only one that says this to him because I used to him. And I love the dramatic moments. I love when songs have that quiet, soft ambiance, and all of a sudden it builds and builds up to this, you know, moment, right? And Shine had that. Kiss is a little different. It's a little more romantic and soft and sultry, but Shine was just. And Glenn is perfect for it because he does soundtracks for movies.
So he's like, I know exactly where to go with this. Exactly.
Ooh, he knew what to do. It was magical.
What was the inspiration behind the song?
All of my songs are based on my poetry. So I've been writing poetry for many, many years. So this was one of my poems. It was called Shine. And it was, you know, you go through life, you have experiences, right? We all do.
So did you write the poem in song form, or did you just write it freehand and just kind of organize it?
Yes, it's a poem first. And Shine is actually very much, there's not much that was changed to change it into lyrics. Huh. It really was almost following the pattern of the poem. Some of them I change, but it's all based on my life experiences. So Shine was about when you are a woman, sometimes you go through so much, you forget what it was like to be, what you felt like when you were a little girl, when you were shining bright. And none of those worries that you have when you're a grown up existed.
No adulting. Think,
yes, exactly. But we forget as adults that keeping that child alive inside of us is so important. You know, so it's kind of like a reminder that
amazing is like that feeling that you had when you were a kid is endless possibilities. It's like using your imagination and creating without any walls. Like that is such a, I feel like music is the nucleus of that in a lot of ways because it forces you to do that. I feel like I go back in time when I learn music because I find that joy of being a kid. It's kind of like having a new toy that when I learn a new song, and it's the same feeling. It's like, oh my God, I'm learning how to do this thing that I've always wanted to learn how to do. So music kind of gives you that like, that terminal to kind of go through to get back into being a kid. So how did you know when you were done with the vocals that you were like, this is finished? Because that's always the hardest part.
The vocals. When I was recording the vocals in Threshold Studios with Brian, it was my first time recording in a studio. And it was so interesting. And I knew Brian when he liked it, because every time I would sing, you know, a verse or a couple of lines, he would say, that was great, but let's try again. That was great, but let's try again. That was great, but, you know, and at one point he just said, okay, we have all of it. We're good. We're done. And I knew it as well, you know. Yeah. But the way he puts everything together and you know, when it sounds like magic, you know, you're done. When you feel, when you feel comfortable.
And it's, and you know, singers have it the hardest because, you know, it's like that, you know, that answering machine syndrome. When you hear your speaking voice for the first time on an answering machine, you're like, oh my God, that's how I sound. With singers, there's always a moment where it's like, oh my God, you're like overly critical and not necessarily listening to the song and what it's creating. Tell me how you made that transition from kind of getting out of your head from what you were listening to like hearing the whole thing as a whole.
You know, I think I love the whole process, even the process of picking on myself, you know, because I feel like when you are critical, it's room for improvement.
Right.
But I didn't know that I could hit certain notes because it was kind of going out of my comfort zone.
Right.
You know, but I am the type of singer that I really am transported. I can't explain this. My eyes aren't always closed when I'm recording, when I'm singing, because I just go to another place, somewhere where, you know, all of my life, every wedding I attended, I always was the one that went up and sang for the couple, you know?
Awesome.
So it was. So I just always loved that place that it takes me to. So even if Brian told me to sing one verse for 3-4 hours, I would be perfectly fine, you know, because I'm in my comfort place. It feels like home. It feels like love and magic.
It also feels like, you know, time is, you really feel like time is an illusion when you're in a studio.
Yes.
It's like, it can be endless and it can just, it feels like it goes by so quickly sometimes. Sometimes when things aren't working, it can feel like time slows down. But I mean, most of the time when I'm in the studio, it just goes by like that. And it
4 hours go like this, you're right.
Yeah, it's crazy. I hate that, but I also realize how invested I am when I get home and I'm just like so beat because, you know, there's very few careers where people are concentrating so much on every detail. Mm-hmm. I feel like when singer-songwriters or artists are making records, there's you're hyper focused. You know, you're physically focused, you're mentally focused, you're artistically and creatively focused, your imagination is being pushed to the limits, you're trying to realize a dream that was started as a seed, and you're starting to see it now prosper and grow. So it is like this full investment of spirit, body, and soul, and hearts, and all those things, and mind, you know, body, mind, spirit, soul, you know, all of
that. It's true. It's amazing. I don't know. I feel like it's a gift. I really do not take one thing for granted.
Well, let's play something else. What do you want to play next?
Let's do it. Let's do A Kiss, the romantic one.
All right. Here it is. A Kiss by De La Moore. So pretty.
Thank you. So beautiful.
You got a beautiful voice. You really have a very passionate sound in your voice. I love love.
I do love love.
You hear
even
it.
Even till this day, after all of the, you know, obstacles we go through in life, I still love love. That song definitely has
a Natalie Cole vibe. She's just definitely has a jazz influence, like that adult. Mm-hmm. Temporary, kind of like smooth jazz almost.
Alex Houghton actually produced that song. He's amazing.
And it's got like some tinge of Sade, a little bit of Sade in the sound, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's Very cool. Very. So tell me what was the influence behind making the song what it was, or to go with the jazz route for this song?
You know, this song, I wrote this poem because I think all of my poems and I think all of my music, really the goal behind it is to kind of bring the beauty of humanity out. I think, you know, I think we forget as we go through life how beautiful simple thing like a kiss is, right? We never sit down and think about what is a kiss, right? We kiss the people that we love, 1, 2, 3, quickly. But when you really think about the beauty of it, it is such a tender and beautiful, right, moment that you share with someone.
Yeah,
and best. It brings that beauty of humanity out, even Shine or any song. So Kiss really was, I wanted it to be sultry and romantic and slow and just for everyone to really think about that moment. And I wanted to remind people who are together for a long time and have forgotten the beauty of the kiss, what it is, or the ones that haven't had a kiss yet, what it is, right? Or the ones who are passionately in love to just go and kiss. It was just one of those things that I wanted to, like a reminder how beautiful it is. Something so gentle, right?
I love that. So, you know, I always feel like I will forever write love songs for that reason, just because like love is such an important thing, you know, for the world and for like daily life. Just having love in your life means everything. So I feel like music is a form of love on some level. So when you're channeling those, you know, those feelings into something beautiful like music, it can only be a win-win, and it's only going to register and resonate within people because it's like the most basic thing that we all need. Like you can do, the Beatles said it best, all you need is love, right? So
yes,
you write about love. I think it resonates with anybody that feels the same, that loves love, because it's tender, it's innocent, it's you know, vulnerable, it's trust, it's sacrifice, it's strength, it's all those things that we love, you know, that bring us together. So I love that love is a muse for you, because romance is needed.
I think it's needed. I think it's been with me all of my life. I was always that little kid that was spreading it around, and you know, if my father would bring candy home, I would steal it and take it to school and give it to other kids. You know, I was one of those. I was that kid. Until this day, even at my age, I still believe that love can conquer all. And I believe that it is the strongest emotion that can win those battles that people are trying to win.
We are like-minded like that. That's right? Exactly it. Yeah. No, and it's like, you know, there's not enough, especially now, it's like you hear pop music and it's not necessarily about love. It's different. Mm-hmm. You know, it's changed forms or it's about other things. And sometimes I just kind of like shrug because, you know, it's like marketing is so important to media, right? But it's like they should market things that are about love because it perpetuates a good feeling with people.
Yes.
You know?
I think there's room for different types of music, definitely.
I agree.
Sometimes I just want to put on club music and I go crazy dancing with my daughter. And that's just what I'm in the mood for that day. And then another day I will put on every love song that exists and just be in my little love glory, right? So, and one day I'll put on rock and just feel like, so I think there's room for everyone. But yes, when it comes to radio, when the songs are on the radio stream, right, in the media, I feel like sometimes these type of songs should be included a little more, you know, as I think people are craving it, especially now with everything that everyone is going through.
Everybody's alone and figuring out what's the next step, or you're not able to even have human contact and touch in the same ways. So
exactly.
It's a very weird time. So
it is.
Music can still touch upon the heart, which is what is great about these songs, because they're love songs. They're that simple. It's like, you know, everybody feels the heartstrings being pulled. So without a soundtrack to those feelings, there ain't nothing better. It's the best. It is the answer.
Right, I agree. If it touches the heart, you know your job is done. I always say that if my music touches one heart or a million or millions, I feel like my job is done. That's you know, just expressing, right, your words and music. I think it's one of the most beautiful things you could ever create.
So let me ask you, after you get this record done, or even while you're getting it done, when things do open up, are you going to perform any of these songs live? Are you going to get
tracked? Yes.
Like, well, mm-hmm. Because that there's something so magical just with even that, you know. There's a.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, there's a
vibe. I cannot wait.
I miss it so much.
I can't even imagine. I mean, you have done that. You have experienced that feeling on stage. I did when I was younger, when I played the violin. I would always do all the concerts in school. I was always the child that they picked to play with the piano players.
That's awesome. Always,
you know, yeah. So I did, and I remembered the feeling, like stage felt like home to me. You know, there was something about it. And I'm a designer. I spent most of my adult life as a designer, so I have a very creative mind. So I literally see what my stage will look like. You know, I see the background. I have the entire vision. So to one day bring it to fruition is something that really, you know, it's a dream that I hope it will come true. Because
well, it will. You just have to keep working on it, chipping away at it. You know, it's mm-hmm. I always tell people music, you know, music never leaves somebody. It's we leave music. Yeah. You know, and mm-hmm. it's like, I've had moments like that where it's like, oh, I wasn't sure if this was the right thing to do. But, you know, it always kept pulling me back. And I listen to that voice like more now than ever. And, you know, it's easy to get psyched out about competition or the market being saturated or this and that. But you know what? There's nothing more powerful than a person creating. It is like the most basic yes. part of humanity. So I love that you're still like, you came around and you were like, you know what? Life is too short. I'm not going to give mm-hmm. up on this dream. It's never too late. It's never too late. So I hope this encourages more listeners and let's play them something else. What do you want to play next?
I think we have Wicked Games, which is a cover that I did.
Oh, right.
I love this song so much.
Yeah, this is one of the best written songs, best recorded songs, best, you know, romantic songs. So I love that you picked this song because it's just fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, here it is, Wicked Game by De La Mora.
World was on fire and no one could save me but you. Strange world desire will make foolish people too. I never dreamed that I'd meet somebody like you. And I never dreamed that I'd lose somebody like you. No. No, I don't wanna fall in love with you. What a wicked game you played to make me feel this way. What a wicked thing to do, to let me dream of you. What a wicked thing to say, you never felt this way. What a wicked thing to do, to make me dream of you. No, I don't wanna fall in love with you. one could save me but you. Strange what desire will make foolish people do. And I never dreamed that I'd love somebody like you. And I never dreamed that I'd lose somebody like you. No, I don't wanna fall in love. No, I don't wanna fall in love with you. With you.
That was great. Wow, thank so hypnotic. You. Very cool.
Hypnotic, huh?
It was great. I mean, I was in the song. I was in it. I was in it. Well, I liked your interpretation, too. It's just so different. Thank it's you. Like very theatrical, like film trailer-esque. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. like that's a... They're doing that a lot right now. You should definitely pitch this to film trailers and syncs because they're taking you know, songs done by guys and then you mm-hmm. have a slower version done by a female and mm-hmm. it's super popular and I love those versions because you're so used to the original and it's so great to hear a new take on a song like that, you know.
Fantastic. Yeah, that one transported me. Thank you. That's what happens when I'm transported. I just go to another place when I sing.
Isn't it great? Just like the fact that melodies, you know, you only have 12 notes that you can use.
Right. But
like there is a magic to putting them together and there's a magic in the delivery. And isn't it great? Like the recorded concept, the fact that we live in the time that we do, this is like, getting a little philosophical, but I love it because I think about composers all the time. Like Mozart's one of my favorite composers. Mm. I studied him in school. I studied classical music. I don't know if you know, I studied opera. So
yes,
I was very much in love with the composers and they never got to hear a lot of their music. You know, they would write it and they'd hear it in their heads, but they'd never hear it back unless it was a concert. And
wow.
Put all these people together and they do a concert and there was never any way to record it, you know? So every right. time I'm in the studio, it's like, wow. I never take for granted the fact that you can relive the song and relive the moment of the recorded music. So, you know, we're lucky. We're very lucky that we live.
We're so blessed.
I feel the same way when you record a song, there's something about it. There's a magic that's just, you know, it's unforgettable. So I can't wait to hear what else is on your record. What a great...
Ooh, we're working on the third song now. We are working on the third song. So I'm excited. It's called the Silence Song. Also, well, no. It's the silence song of your heart.
Okay.
It's what you're not listening to.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. So Brian already has his PowerPoint.
That's awesome.
Presentation.
You do PowerPoint for every song that you do with Brian?
I do.
I love it.
But you know, he loves them. He's out of all.
How long is the PowerPoint presentation?
It's not that bad. It's about 3 to 4 slides, but it gives them all of the info. Yeah, no, but it's, you know, it
has 10. Go for 10. Go for 10.
No, I'm not going to drive them crazy. But Glenn is already doing his magic right now. I cannot wait to hear it. Oh my gosh. You know, I know it's going to be tears all over again because that's the team that I found that really understands me. And that's the best part when you're working with people who understand what you're trying to convey through your music, right?
That's the best. I find greatest that when you work with people that are realizing the work that you're, you know, kind of trained and working and dreaming to do, when it becomes realized, there's no greater thing on the planet. To me, you know, it's like, I always feel like when I get the CD, or, you know, I just got vinyls. That's what some of these boxes are here for. That was a tremendous experience for me, just to see it all. My first link to music was records, you know. Mm-hmm. So for me to see a vinyl that I made,
congratulations,
blew my mind.
I saw that on your post, and I was that's amazing.
It's a weird thing to kind of to kind of take it back to that medium, you know, because it's gone mm-hmm. through, you know, just in the time I've been alive, went from vinyls to tape players to tape, mm-hmm. you know, then it went to CDs, and then it's been MP3s and WAV files. So for it to go back to records and the quality to be so great, but also just to see the medium, like you see a CD, it's this big. When you see a record, it's this big. And so you really see a bigger piece of your dream, you know? So
That's a classic form, right? Nothing can replace that. There's nothing like vinyl.
So
I'm
excited for you to get your CD because that feeling you're gonna mm-hmm. weep, because I wept when I first got my first CDs. It's like, oh my God, because you see it, and it's like, you know, there's so much time that goes into it, even in the replication process, the design of the CD, the artwork, and you know, every time you do it, it's a process. So there's something just really soulful about going through that and putting all of it together. It's like doing a school project that takes the whole year, you know, to do it.
Those moments in music, you can't. When Shine first came out and I had the song, I could have sent it to my father. But what I did was I flew to Florida to surprise him.
Oh, that's awesome. And
I sat with him at the table because it was always his dream for me to sing. I mean, he was teaching me when I was little, but then, you know, life happened.
Right.
And I sat with him at the table and he held my hand and he kissed my hand, and I put Shine on the speaker as loud as we could. And the tears in his eyes alone, that's just awesome. Listening to me sing and knowing that I'm finally doing what I was always meant to do. I have to tell Anakil that those moments are just, you know,
that's it.
You treasure
that's
it forever.
Yeah, the funny thing, forget. I'll get emails from people that listen to the music, but my favorite emails are when my dad sends me. He's like, I got up at 5 a.m. I listened to your record. I'm like, I love you, Pops.
Oh, I love that.
There's, you know, my mom will tell me, oh, I came back from work and I was listening to your record. I'm like, I love that. You know, there's something joyful when it's family. You know, there's something that is, it's deep. Because, you know, they're proud, but it's also it's like a very loving connection. You know, you're reaching them on a deeper level, you know, like music.
And you're their child.
Right.
And you're fulfilling your dream. And there's nothing happier for a parent.
That's true.
Than seeing their child fulfilling their dream.
Right.
You know, and sharing that moment is. So
what's next for you? You're working on these songs. When do you think they'll all be done? A year from now, maybe 2 years
from now? You know, on song 3, I want the album to have, I believe, 11 songs, because I believe 11 is a very, I'm very spiritual. So
yeah, no, 11 is a
beautiful, yes, beautiful number. So we have 8 more to go after these 3 are finished. So it's just a matter of, you know, financing the production, because Brian is the best. God is the best, you know, they're amazing, yeah. And I want each song to be beautiful quality. And
well, is there a way, let's say if any of our listeners want to help fund the record, is there a way they can pay you directly, or do you have a website or any way to get in contact with you? What's the best way for people to find you if they want to?
I have a website. I don't have any links where they can contribute. I did kickstart a campaign, but I was so unfamiliar with the process that it was a learning lesson. Oh my gosh, it's, you know. But they can always contact me through the website, dlamore.com. There's an email.
Spell it out for them, because people are dumb. Spell it out.
dlemore.com.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, dlamore, you've been a wonderful guest. I'm so excited for your record. And I don't want to keep you up any later than I need to, because you're on East
Coast. I'm already awake.
Well,
I'll be up at 3 a.m.
You know what? We're going to have you back on when you have the record finished and we can get more music to show us. So keep the dream alive. And mm-hmm. thank you for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. We appreciate you. And keep the dream burning and keep it alive. Keep the flame on high. Because
thank you so much.
There's no other way to live, you know?
Nope.
You only live once. YOLO, right? YOLO.
Only once. Thank
you. And I'm sure you're inspiring your family too, especially your daughter, by just going out there you want. So
yes, definitely. She's my biggest fan, trust me.
Awesome. Well, keep the fire burning. We're so happy to hear your music. It's wonderful. And we'll have you keep coming back. So as the record keeps evolving, we'll just keep having you back, okay?
Awesome. Thanks, Nikhil. Thank you so much.
Get some rest now. You can take the caffeine high and turn it down. Have a wonderful night. Get some sleep, okay?
Thanks. Okay. Bye.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.